dodges. I ride in this wind on my good horse. I call you my shiny black bears to the playhouse of fortune to take the bright silver and gold you have taken from somebody else. And as we go.
You're tuned to WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner Syracuse, W201CD Ithaca Community Radio at 88.1, or Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Unwelcome Guests. I'm Lynn Gary. High crimes and misdemeanors is a standard used to determine the impeachment of a U.S. president or other official. Tonight's program looks at the actions, past, present, and contemplated of the Bush administration, and makes the case that these meet the threshold required for the impeachment of President G.W. Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, and key members of their cabinet. We'll hear from a professor of international law in the first hour, followed by an interview with a researcher from a British-based human rights think tank.
Like lightning, we soon will be riding my shiny black bears. No fat rich man's pony can ever overtake you. There's not a rider from the east to the west to hold you alive in this dark.
Kelly Ramirez of the Radio Internet Story Exchange, RISE, spoke with law professor Francis Boyle about his offer to provide free legal help to any member of the U.S. House of Representatives willing to file articles of impeachment against the President, Vice President, Secretary of Defense, and Attorney General of the United States.
Welcome to RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange, a weekly public affairs program helping you to ask questions, find answers, and distinguish the truth from the lie. I'm Kelly Ramirez.
Many nations are acting forcefully. Pakistan is now cracking down on terror, and I admire the strong leadership of President Musharraf. But some governments will be timid in the face of terror. And make no mistake about it, if they do not act, America will.
So tell me, everyone, how are we going to stop this war on Iraq? This insane march to Armageddon, wanted only by people whose petroleum-black hallucinations of power could devastate us all while they sneak off to their undisclosed locations to count their undisclosed loot. How do we stop the slaughter of innocents, both now and in the future generations? After all, depleted uranium is one soldier that doesn't quit when the battle's done. How do we stop the plunder of another people's treasure, and the plunder of our own? What is going to be left for us, for our old age, and for our children's future, when our wealth is used to fuel an insatiable war machine? How do we halt the police state being foisted on us in the name of security? How do we say that one day of mass murder does not throw out over 220 years of evolving and expanding freedoms? How do we stop being the American sheeple and start being the American people, as in, we the people of the United States? We start by enforcing the document that begins with the phrase, we the people. We stop going where these unelected alleged leaders are trying to take us. And we insist, no, we demand that the people who are supposed to represent us uphold their oaths, and throw those rascals out. Instead of a preemptive attack on Iraq, let's have a preemptive impeachment of Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Ashcroft. There is a man standing by to help the first member or members of Congress willing to initiate this nonviolent constitutional process by introducing articles of impeachment. He is Professor Francis A. Boyle, a lawyer and scholar who teaches international law at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Boyle is experienced in the process of impeachment, having drafted articles on behalf of the late Representative Henry B. Gonzalez, who introduced articles of impeachment against George Herbert Walker Bush in 1991. On December 24, 2002, Professor Boyle told Rise why breaches of international law are impeachable offenses.
What constitutes the body of international law? And is it a real body of laws, let's say, like the Illinois Criminal Code is, or is it just a kind of international etiquette? Is the United States bound to obey international law?
Yes, certainly the United States Constitution itself, in Article 6, says that international treaties are the supreme law of the land here in the United States of America. And the president and all other high-level executive branch officials have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States of America. So all we would be doing here in this impeachment campaign is impeaching them for violating international treaties as incorporated into the United States Constitution, as well as the Constitution itself.
And generally, how is international law enforced?
It's enforced like any other area of law, but I think people must understand here, it's really for the American people ourselves to enforce international law against our own high-level government officials. There is an International Court of Justice. There is an International Criminal Court. There is the International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia and also for Rwanda. There are United States federal district courts and state courts. But the bottom line, it's really up to you and to me and to the listeners here today to enforce the law in the Constitution against our own government. We are citizens of the United States of America. We have to act to preserve the republic that we have, to preserve our Constitution, to preserve a rule of law. This is our responsibility as citizens. We simply can't pass the buck and say, oh, some judge is going to do it somewhere. It's up to us to keep this republic.
Now, to many of us, war is a crime. So the idea of war crime seems a bit redundant. What's the theory behind the phrase war crime?
Well, in fact, war itself is a crime, waging a war of aggression. That was part of the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment, and Principles. And indeed, in 1946, in the Nuremberg Judgment, we sentenced Nazi leaders to death for waging a war of aggression, a war in violation of international treaties and agreements. So certainly that will be one count of the impeachment campaign against Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, and others if we can get support for this, certainly Rumsfeld as well. But even when you're in a war, there are certain acts that are prohibited, and those acts are called war crimes. That is, killing civilians, deliberately killing civilians, torture, murder, wanton devastation of cities, towns, villages, things of that nature. And it's very clear that this is what the Bush Jr. administration fully intends to do in Iraq. It's very clear, if you read all the press reports, they are going to devastate Baghdad, a metropolitan area of 5 million people. The Nuremberg Charter clearly says the wanton devastation of a city is a Nuremberg war crime. So we will be taking here the same body of law that the United States government applied to the Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg and applying it to our own government officials. And indeed, Mr. Justice Robert Jackson, who took a leave from the United States Supreme Court to prosecute, to be the chief prosecutor at Nuremberg, said in his statements there that we are establishing one body of law that would apply not only to these defeated Nazi war criminals, but also to ourselves. And we are taking Mr. Justice Jackson quite seriously here at his word. We are going to apply the same body of law to U.S. government officials.
Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Ashcroft, I tend to call them the Gang of Four. Do you think they're out to disavow the Nuremberg Charter?
They already have. When you take a look at the two speeches that Vice President Cheney gave this summer, undoubtedly at the instructions of President Bush Jr., calling for a preventive war or a preemptive attack against Iraq. This doctrine of preventive warfare or preemptive attack was rejected soundly in the Nuremberg judgment. As I said before, the Nazi war criminals were tried for waging an aggressive war, one of the counts against them. They attempted to defend against this charge in part by arguing that some of the wars that they waged were in fact preventive warfare or preemptive warfare. And the Nuremberg judgment dealt with that quite firmly and rejected this Nazi doctrine of international law of alleged self-defense. So basically what we heard Cheney make in his two speeches in August before the Korean War vets and the VFW was a Nazi philosophy of international law. In addition, we have seen the same doctrine being made by Deputy Secretary of Defense Wolfowitz, and we now have this new planning doctrine document by the National Security Council put out by Condoleezza Rice, reportedly drafted by Wolfowitz, calling for preemptive war. I've read it. It's appalling. It reads like a Nazi planning document prior to the Second World War, and in my studies of history and international relations, I have read the Nazi planning documents. And indeed, saying quite clearly, the best defense is a good offense. That's an official United States government document. I could take that document to the International Court of Justice in The Hague and get them to condemn the United States for waging an aggressive war, which, as I already have said, violates the Nuremberg Charter judgment and principles and is and constitutes an international crime against peace. And again, one of the counts in the draft bill of impeachment against Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft is a whole-scale violation of the Nuremberg Charter judgment and principles.
The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Many of us know that George W. Bush's grandfather, Senator Prescott Bush, was involved in funding the Nazis in the 30s. Are we then saying that it is not far-fetched, even as Saddam Hussein is compared to Hitler, to say that our own government is acting like Nazis?
I think that's a fair and accurate statement if you go back and read the Nuremberg Charter, the Nuremberg Judgment, and the Nuremberg Principles. Obviously, we have to be careful in using the terminology Nazi. It's a loaded charge. But you really do have to go back and read the Nuremberg Charter, the Nuremberg judgment and the Nuremberg principles, and you will see the Bush Jr. administration, several members, making arguments to justify policies that clearly violate the Nuremberg Charter judgment and principles. So again, that charge, I think, has to be fit within the context of the Nuremberg Charter judgment and principles. There are objective criteria here, and I think if you apply the objective criteria found in the Nuremberg Charter judgment and principles, you can support that conclusion.
What other conventions, charters, international laws besides the Nuremberg Charter being violated by this administration?
Well, of course, I want to make it clear, first and foremost, it's our own Constitution as well that fully incorporates this body of law that I am going to discuss. In the bill of impeachment done by the late Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez against Bush Sr. over his war against Iraq, the first article actually was a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution on the grounds that the power elite who run this country, Bush, Cheney, his father, his grandfather, etc., were using the people of color and the poor people who primarily compose our military as a mercenary class to go over to Iraq and steal oil for their own personal benefit. And we know for a fact that the entire Bush family, Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Cheney, all have enormous investments in oil. They made a killing personally on the first war against Iraq, and they're even going to make a bigger killing on the second war against Iraq. About 10% of the world oil supply is under Iraq, over $1 trillion at current prices, more if there is an energy crisis. So the first article of Congressman Gonzalez's impeachment resolution against Bush Sr. pointed this out, violating the equal protection of the laws, using blacks, Mexicans, Latinos, and poor whites to fight a war for oil on behalf of the power elite who really run this country. The second article of the Bill of Impeachment by Congressman Gonzalez against Bush Sr. accused Bush Sr. of bribing, threatening, and intimidating the members of the United Nations Security Council to support a war against Iraq in violation of the United Nations Charter, which is also a treaty and the supreme law of the land here in the United States. The exact same thing is being done by Bush Jr. Indeed, if you study very carefully the so-called game plan of Bush Sr. for his war against Iraq, the Bush Jr. people are following the exact same game plan. Indeed, it's so brazen that the Bush Sr. Secretary of State, Jim Baker, in reaction to the negative response to the Cheney speeches arguing preventive warfare, Jim Baker wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times saying, "Look here, you Bush Jr. people need to do the same thing we Bush Sr. people did in our war against Iraq. First go to the Security Council, then go to the United States Congress to get authorization for war." So the game plan here is the same. They're doing the exact same thing all over again. Article 3 of the Gonzalez impeachment resolution against Bush Sr. Charges violations of the Hague Regulations of 1907, the Geneva Conventions of 1949 and Protocol 1, the Nuremberg Charter Judgment and Principles, the Genocide Convention, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. all of which are the law of the United States of America, and all of our highest level officials, Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States. Article 4 of the Gonzales impeachment resolution against Bush Sr. accused Bush Sr. of violating the War Powers Clause of the United States Constitution. Bush Sr. never got a declaration of war from Congress against Iraq, and indeed put Congress in a situation that they had to allegedly give him some authority under the War Powers Resolution. But still, that did not satisfy the constitutional requirement of a declaration of war under the War Powers Clause of the Constitution. The same is true for Bush Jr. He does not have any type of formal declaration of war by Congress against Iraq. If you go back and read our founders in the drafting of the Constitution, they made it very clear that the decision to go to war must be made by both houses of Congress acting together pursuant to a declaration of war, because this is the most awesome decision our republic can possibly make. Article 5 of the Gonzales impeachment resolution basically charges Bush with planning, preparing, and conspiring to commit crimes against peace in violation of Article 2, Paragraph 4 of the United Nations Charter, the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment and Principles, other international instruments and treaties, and the Constitution of the United States of America. I have already discussed this before. In addition, what we are proposing to the original Gonzales impeachment resolution against Bush Sr., which stands on almost all four squares with Bush Jr., is an Article 6 to deal with the Ashcroft police state that we have seen established here in the United States after September 11th, the USA Patriots Act, and all the atrocities against civil rights and civil liberties that we have seen here committed almost on a daily basis by Ashcroft and his Department of Injustice, literally attempting to create a police state in America. And if we don't stop Ashcroft and Bush, to whom Ashcroft reports, that is what we're going to get here in America, a police state, violating almost every known provision of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution. So this is what we are proposing, 6 articles of impeachment against Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Ashcroft, 5 of them almost identical to Congressman Henry B. Gonzales' original bill of impeachment against Bush Sr., that I was honored and pleased to serve as counsel to Congressman Henry B. Gonzales, very loyal, patriotic American, and a real populist, a man of the people.
But especially with regard to your proposed Article 6, aren't the members of Congress just as guilty? They voted the Patriot Act, they voted Homeland Security, they voted all this authorization of war. Do you think they're going to impeach somebody when they're as complicit, really, in these actions as anyone in the administration?
Well, not everyone voted for this. And right now, we are attempting to get one member of the House of Representatives willing to introduce this bill of impeachment as soon as the new Congress convenes in mid-January. I think we can do that. I almost had one member on the way out, but for some reason that member decided not to do it. But there are large numbers of members of Congress, I think, who are seriously disturbed about what Bush Jr. is planning to do against Iraq, and also are seriously disturbed by the Ashcroft police state. So I anticipate a snowball effect here. If we can get one member of Congress, the House of Representatives, with the courage, integrity, and principles to introduce that bill, I think we're going to get a lot of support and co-sponsors very quickly.
You are listening to RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange. I'm Kelia Ramirez. Today's topic is Preemptive Impeachment, Stopping the War by Enforcing the Constitution. We now return you to Professor Francis Boyle.
It would certainly take a lot of political courage, and I'm kind of wondering a little physical courage, too. I can't help but wonder if those anthrax attacks weren't at least partially designed to perhaps hope they could drive Congress home and out of session while they did their dastardly deeds. Do you think that Congress people are very afraid to take action, even though they know that, we're heading for a police state?
I have already written on the anthrax attacks an article called Homebrew, which you can read on the website for counterpunch.org. Just use their search engine. I also have another article on counterpunch.org called Bush's Banana Republic. I agree with you. I think the purpose of the anthrax attacks was to shut down Congress while the Bush Jr. administration rammed through the USA Patriots Act without much congressional oversight at all. And I've explained the reasons why in my article. Sure, members of Congress are afraid, physically. They know what's coming. But still, there are members with courage, integrity, and principles. And right now, we just need to get one. Just as we had one with Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez. Before the Gulf War started the last time, on the Sunday before, right after the vote in Congress, Ramsey Clark, the former Attorney General of the United States of America, Congressman Gonzalez, and I decided to set up a national campaign to impeach Bush Sr. if he went to war. The purpose was to prevent that war. Being the law professor in the group, I agreed to do the first draft of the Gonzalez impeachment resolution. It was my honor and pleasure to do that. We had indications from maybe five other members of Congress that they would support that resolution. But when the war started, the next day, one man stood up in the well of the House, and that was Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez. And he introduced his bill of impeachment. And that certainly got the attention of Bush Sr. He knew Henry B. was going right after him, which Henry B. did. I had to get my wife and children out of town. There were so many threats to me. Those are just the risks you run if you want to make a stand for our republic, for our Constitution, and for a rule of law and a peaceful foreign policy by the United States of America. And I know there are members in Congress, in this new Congress, we hope will have the courage, integrity, and principles that the late Henry B. Gonzalez had. And I'm certainly willing to make a stand myself with any member of Congress to do this and to do a revised Gonzalez impeachment resolution for that member, serve as counsel free of charge, as I did with the late Henry B. I also have a book that just came out called The Criminality of Nuclear Deterrence. Could the U.S. War on Terrorism Go Nuclear? ? And there is a special introduction in there, 40 pages, going through the terrible tragedies of September 11th and everything that has happened thereafter, both internationally and domestically, in violation of international law and the United States Constitution. It's 40 pages long with footnotes.
Could the U.S. War on Terrorism Go Nuclear?
It very well could. Indeed, it seems likely. They have already threatened Iraq with the use of nuclear weapons. There is the so-called nuclear planning document put forth by the Bush Jr. administration instructing the Pentagon to draw plans to use nuclear weapons against Iraq. So it's a very close question, yes, and indeed we could see so-called tactical nuclear weapons being used against Iraq. Certainly if there are large-scale casualties among U.S. armed forces, there would be a very strong momentum by the Bush Jr. administration to use nuclear weapons. They have already drawn up plans to use nuclear weapons against Iraq, and they have publicly threatened to use nuclear weapons against Iraq. During the Bush Sr. war against Iraq, we know nuclear weapons were indeed deployed in the region on U.S. ships in the Persian Gulf. So my guess is they're already deployed over there now. I end my book by saying, in answer to this question, will nuclear weapons be used, that this is really up to the American people. Are we going to stop this or not? We have to stop it. Likewise, Israel has indicated that if it is attacked by Iraq with nuclear, chemical, biological weapons, it will use nuclear weapons against Iraq. As I point out in a brand new essay I have on counterpunch.org, the whole Middle East could degenerate into another regional war for the Middle East along the lines of 1948, 1967, 1973. And we know in 1973, Israel seriously contemplated using nuclear weapons. So this is a very dangerous situation, and the American people must act immediately to stop this war against Iraq.
When you say nuclear weapons, are you saying something beyond the use of depleted uranium?
We know for a fact that the United States government has used depleted uranium during the first war against Iraq. It has caused massive casualties, cancer among the civilian population in Iraq. DU has also poisoned our own troops who were over there, contributing to the Gulf War syndrome, which the Pentagon still lies about and denies it exists, despite the fact that the British Ministry of Defense has conceded that there is such a thing as the Gulf War syndrome. And the Pentagon still denies proper medical treatment to Gulf War vets. But yes, I'm talking here about the use of tactical nuclear weapons against Iraq, sure, at a minimum.
Okay, now, let's get to strategy for a second. I certainly never knew that Congressman Gonzalez was trying to impeach Herbert Walker Bush. Do you think maybe this time around the appropriate strategy may be to try to pick them off one by one? I would think at this point that Ashcroft might be politically vulnerable because he keeps ticking Congress off.
The only way we can prevent a war is to go after the chain of command here. And the chain of command is the president, the vice president, and the secretary of defense. So we really have to go after the three of them in this bill of impeachment in order to stop this war, which not only will be a major human rights catastrophe for all people in the Middle East, but will also be used by Ashcroft to further consolidate a police state here in the United States of America. And Cheney is just as bad as Bush Jr., and so is Rumsfeld. So we have to go after the military chain of command to stop this war.
Okay, now, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Hasn't at least every president since Truman and maybe every president in the 20th century committed war crimes? It sounds like, you know, every president could have been impeached, maybe should have been impeached. You know, do you draw the line someplace, or do you think Congress should, you know, be willing to impeach any and every president who pursues an aggressive foreign policy?
Well, of course, I could give you a nice history lesson here, and indeed I teach a course on the constitutional law of U.S. foreign affairs. We spend a whole semester on these issues. But look here, the bottom line is, today's New York Times, Christmas Eve, has reported that the Pentagon is going to call up at least 50,000 reservists right after January 1, and tens of thousands of more will be on the way. So why don't we leave the history lesson for another day and concentrate on the real problem we have now? If the Pentagon's plans go forward, they're saying they will need at least 250,000 soldiers and sailors and Marines to fight that war. I think that that is a gross underestimate. I don't see how they're going to do it with anything less than what they had the last time, which was 500,000. But even then, that's going to be a massive amount of military force. And again, I would just suggest that we concentrate on the immediate problem. We have to stop this war. Clearly, Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft have already committed impeachable offenses. That's what we need to focus on. And I think we can talk about that with some Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Greens, and Independents. If we start dragging up what happened in the past, we're going to be alienating people, and I have no desire to do that. I want to focus on the immediate problem.
September 11th happened, and Bush immediately called it an act of war. Was that necessary? Can't we handle terrorists with the criminal process?
In fact, in his first public statement, Bush called these two attacks an act of terrorism. And that's what it was. Indeed, I discussed this in my book, the special edition, the introduction, The Criminality of Nuclear Deterrence. It should have been handled as a matter of international and domestic law enforcement. But later on, after discussing the matter with Secretary of State Colin Powell, for some reason, he switched signals and proceeded to call it an act of war, which it clearly was not. It's clear he wanted to go to war. The war plan was already on his desk. It probably was an operation. Indeed, the Pentagon had already drawn up a war plan for a war against Afghanistan as early as 1997 and had war gamed it. That's a matter of public record. Pursuant to this war plan, which I believe they put in operation, they had already deployed massive quantities of military forces into the Persian Gulf region on or about September 11th. There were two aircraft carrier task forces right there in the Persian Gulf on September 11th. Second, the British government had already assembled the largest armada since the Falklands and had it deployed to the Persian Gulf together with 23,000 British forces on maneuvers in Oman. That had been planned at least 3 years prior to September 11th. Third, NATO was engaging in the so-called Bright Star exercises in Egypt. 60,000 NATO troops on maneuvers in Egypt, again planned 2 years before September 11th. And in addition, NATO then dispatched another 10,000 to 15,000 troops to Turkey on or about or before September 11th as part of another military operation. It's clear what we saw on September 11th, as of September 11th, was a Pentagon war plan that had been put in operation prior to September 11th. And they used September 11th either as a pretext or as a trigger to go to war against Afghanistan, which they had already been planning to do as far back at least as 1997.
And this war against Afghanistan, would you call that impeachable offenses and include that in an article of impeachment?
Not at this time. I think it would be an impeachable offense. But the point right now is to prevent the war against Iraq, which is staring us right in the face. And that's why I'm just concentrating on Iraq. Obviously, if I can get a member of Congress and the member of Congress instructs me to add an article of impeachment dealing with Afghanistan, I will do so. But that's for the member of Congress to decide, not me. Again, the purpose of this campaign is to stop this war against Iraq, which could easily lead to World War III. Russian President Putin has stated that. Even Walter Cronkite, Uncle Walter, has publicly stated this planned war against Iraq could lead to World War III. As I see it, that's what we have to do now.
Well, I'm old enough to remember Watergate and follow that. And, of course, we just had an impeachment of Bill Clinton. And they dealt with domestic issues, and I think people can kind of relate to that. Do you think, even though we've seen a lot of anti-war protests, supposedly 100,000 people marching around the White House, that a critical mass of Americans understand the implications of what's going on there to get behind an impeachment campaign? I mean, do they understand that Iraq is a little country about the size of California with one-tenth our population and thousands of miles away and no direct threat to us, really?
Well, of course, that is also why I propose adding an Article 6 to the original Gonzales impeachment resolution to deal with the Ashcroft police state. And we know for a fact that there are Republicans and Democrats and Independents and Greens, even very conservative Republicans, such as Dick Armey and Barr, who are very worried about a police state. So that's why I would propose we add an Article 6 to deal with this police state, to make it clear that we don't want a police state in the name of an oil empire. The public opinion polls still show that most American people are not in favor of a war against Iraq. This was the same case that happened the last time. So we need to mobilize that opposition that is out there, sure. And the protest there in Washington, D.C., 100,000 people, that was amazing. We never had anything like that after the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. So the peace movement now, today, is far ahead of where we were in the opposition to the Vietnam War.
This is RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange. I'm Kelia Ramirez. You are listening to Professor Francis Boyle on preemptive impeachment, stopping the war by enforcing the Constitution.
Okay, so give me some more specifics of your campaign for impeachment. What would you want people listening to this to do?
Yes. What we want you to do is to contact your member in the House of Representatives. It must be in the House of Representatives. A bill of impeachment starts in the House with a bill introduced by a member of the House. Tell that member of the House of Representatives that you support this campaign to impeach President Bush Jr. along the lines of Henry B. Gonzales against President Bush Sr., and that their chief of staff should get in touch with me to draft the revised bill of impeachment to be submitted into the new House of Representatives as soon as they convene in mid-January. That's what we need. We also need tens of thousands of people taking to the streets, exercising their First Amendment rights in a peaceful manner, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition your government for redress of grievances, and with signs and protests and banners saying, "Impeach Bush." We need to get that message through to Bush Jr. Recall that Bush Jr. lost the election. He stole the election at the United States Supreme Court. This man knows that he lost, and he's desperately doing everything possible to try to win a legitimate mandate in 2004. So we have to send a message to him, the American people, that if he goes to war against Iraq, we will do our best to impeach him and make sure he doesn't win anything in 2004. And here I agree with the congressman up in Oregon saying that we need 1 million people to take to the streets. Direct action. That's what we need. So there are two things you can do. Make it clear to your member of Congress that you support the campaign and want that bill of impeachment introduced. And second, take this direct action pursuant to your First Amendment rights and make it clear publicly to Bush Jr. that you're going to support a campaign to impeach him if he goes to war against Iraq.
And the one advantage impeachment has is that you avoid the Supreme Court. Any legal challenges, let's say, to the Patriot Act might eventually end up with them, right?
Right. If a 5-4 majority of the Supreme Court stole the election from the American people and gave it to Bush Jr., you can bet your bottom dollar that the same 5-4 majority of Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices are going to give Bush Jr. his police state. So we're wasting our time going to the Supreme Court or federal district courts, which Reagan, Bush Sr., and Bush Jr. have packed with right-wing reactionary judges from this Federalist Society cabal. Again, it's really going to be up to the American people. No judge is going to pull our chestnuts out of the fire. If we want a democracy, a republic, a constitution, and the rule of law, we are going to have to take these matters into our own hands. And again, I agree with the congressman up in Oregon who said we need 1 million people to take to the streets. And what I would like those 1 million people doing is chanting impeach Bush. Before the last Gulf War, Congressman Gonzalez, Ramsey Clark, and I launched that campaign on Tuesday. And by Tuesday evening, on the eve of the war, we had tens of thousands of people all over the country chanting, marching, protesting, and demonstrating impeach Bush. The problem is we did not have enough time. The war started on Wednesday. So now we have time. Bush Jr. has indicated he's not going to war any sooner than the end of January. So we have to do all that we can to get the 1 million people out on the streets, marching, protesting, demonstrating, and chanting, impeach Bush. That message will get through. Because if there's one thing we know, this guy wants his own mandate, and he knows he doesn't have it from the American people. We also know that a majority of the American people voted against Bush Jr. We know it. He knows it. So we need to mobilize those people who voted for other candidates and get them out there as well. This is democracy in action. And this is what we're going to have to do to prevent a war against Iraq for oil and to preserve a republic and a constitution and the rule of law here in the United States.
Speaking of getting the message out, do you think it's going to be more difficult now that we've had so much concentration of media in the last decade and that the corporate media really seems to have evolved as an arm of the government almost?
That is correct. As you know, Noam Chomsky and Ed Herman has written about this in Manufacturing Consent. Ben Bedikian has also written about it in Media Monopoly. But the one thing we do have now that we didn't have back in 1991 is the Internet. The Internet is an enormously powerful tool for alternative information and also for organizing campaigns. So we have that. And second, we do have now large numbers of alternative media sources and centers that have sprung up in the past decade. I've been giving interviews almost full-time since I came back from vacation in August on Iraq and the plans to go to war against Iraq. So I know these alternative news media sources are out there. They are getting the message out. Obviously, it's not like the major networks, ABC, NBC, CNN, all the rest of them, and Fox, the most bloodthirsty of all. And it's true, they are supporting this war. To give an example, 3 weeks ago, I got a call from a producer from MSNBC asking me to go on MSNBC Live, and I proceeded to discuss with him the war coverage by the major networks. And he admitted quite freely, yes, the other networks are running towards war. We at MSNBC are walking towards war. Well, that's the difference, right? They're all running for war, I guess, except MSNBC, and even they admit they're walking towards war. So that's what we're up against, sure. But we have the internet, we have alternative news media sources, we have to get this message out to the American people, and then we need those million people taking to the streets, chanting impeach Bush, and at that point the major news media are going to have to pay attention to us. As they did, by the way, in the original Gonzalez impeachment campaign, despite all of the support for war by the major news media at that time, I was on CBS Radio Network Live as of Wednesday morning before the war started, calling for the impeachment of Bush. The whole country heard that. So we have time. We can get the message out, but it's going to be a combination of direct action by U.S. citizens and the internet and alternative news media sources.
You mentioned at the beginning of this interview that one of the articles of impeachment in the Gonzales resolution had to do with equal protection and how so many military are of color and they get used as the cannon fodder and the mercenaries. Do you have any sense that communities of color are getting this impeachment message and are getting on the bandwagon?
I have given some interviews to news media sources that are directed toward people of color, and there has been support, yes. You know, how they're organizing, what they're doing, you know, I can't say. You know, they have their own networks. But I have given interviews. All the alternative sources that have contacted me, and I've gotten good responses. What they're doing, I can't say. You know, they have to organize themselves. You know, I'm Irish-American, so I can't really sit down and tell African-Americans or Latinos how to organize themselves.
Okay, anything else that you would like to say?
Well, just remember that we have basically 1 month here to prevent this war against Iraq that will make us, the American Empire, every bit as fearsome as the Roman Empire and the Nazi Empire before us. Is that what you want to see America become? And do you want to see a police state here at home? During the past 25 years of my public career, of course I have publicly condemned all the injustices that are inflicted here in the United States of America by the federal government, state and local governments. That's my job as a lawyer and a law professor. And I'm sure everyone listening today knows full well about all the injustices that are inflicted every day here in America. But the point is, we are still the oldest republic in the world. Things could be far worse. A real police state. We have to fight to keep the republic we have. Otherwise, we're going to go the same way as the Romans before us or the Nazis do. That's what's at stake here during the next month. The American people must weigh in. Direct action and impeachment, I personally believe, are the way to go.
Professor Francis Boyle, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you very much for taking so much time to that you obviously did to prepare this interview. It was very productive.
You've been listening to RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange, a weekly public affairs program helping you to ask questions, find answers, and distinguish the truth from the lie. Our guest today was Francis A. Boyle, Professor of International Law at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. He discussed his campaign to impeach George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld for their war plans, which are violations of international law and also violations of the U.S. Constitution. Professor Boyle is also campaigning for the impeachment of John Ashcroft for his role in attempting to establish a police state in the United States in violation of the Constitution's Bill of Rights. The voice of George W. Bush was excerpted from the 2002 State of the Union Address. In order to achieve impeachment, especially with Congress being controlled by the same party that controls the White House, it is important that we, the people, demand that the House of Representatives fulfill its constitutional duty. Please write your representative to let him or her know that the Constitution must be enforced. If you don't know who your representative is or where to write, please go to the RISE website, where we have a link to a search engine that will help you find your representative. All you have to know is your zip code. The RISE website is www.riseforNews.net. That's www.rise4news.net. Here are some upcoming protest events at which you can call for impeachment. On Saturday, January 18th, there will be a national march on Washington, D.C. to say no to war on Iraq. The event will begin with a rally at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the west side of the Capitol building, followed by a march to the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard, a huge military complex located in the heart of one of Washington's working-class communities. There will be a joint action in San Francisco on Saturday, January 18th. Marchers will assemble at 11 a.m. Pacific Time at Market and Embarcadero Streets in the Financial District for a march to Civic Center. On Sunday, January 19th, there will be a youth and student rally and march against war and racism in Washington, D.C. Marchers should gather at 11 a.m. Eastern Time at the Department of Injustice on Pennsylvania Avenue between 9th and 10th Streets Northwest. There will be a march to the Presidential Palace, a.k.a. the White House, for a youth and student weapons inspection. The youth and student rally and march is to protest the attacks against Arab and Muslim communities, including the recent mass arrests in California. People are encouraged to bring banners and puppets, to dress as weapons inspectors, to find as many creative methods to dramatize your demands in opposition to a war of aggression and in support of a reorganization of society's priorities that would put people's needs ahead of the Pentagon and the war profiteers in corporate America. Radio Internet Story Exchange endorses these protests and invites marchers to visit our online store at www.riseforNews.net for protest gear. For more information on these protests, please visit the website of International Answer, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, at www.internationalanswer.org. That's www.internationalanswer.org. Radio Internet Story Exchange is produced by myself, Kelly O'Ramaris, partly in the studios of radio station KPFA in Berkeley, California. You can find an archive of today's program on the RISE website. RISE's webcast on Love Underground Visionary Revolution, lover.com or lover.org, that's L-U-V-E-R, on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern. RISE is also in the news stream of Partytown Streaming Network at www.partytown.com. www.partytown.com/radio. That's www.partytown.com/radio. If you think more people should be hearing RISE, contact your local college, community, or micro radio station or webcaster and ask them to pick up the program. Radio Internet Story Exchange receives no corporate funding or foundation funding and depends on you for support. For more information on donating to RISE, receiving or publicizing the program, or giving feedback on programs, please contact Kellia at riseforNews.net. That's K-E-L-L-I-A at RISE, the number 4, news.net. This has been RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange. Thanks for listening.